The Psalms are amazing, aren't they? The Psalms are amazing. All Scripture is inspired. All Scripture is the breathed out Word of God. But there is something. There is something about the Psalms, isn't there? There's something about the Psalms that makes them particularly special to us as the people of God. Probably more than any other book in the Scriptures, the Psalms have been the go-to book for the people of God through the centuries. Now, there are probably many reasons for that, but perhaps the main reason is that there's always a psalm to reflect how you feel. It was John Calvin who described the Psalms in this way. He said that they are the anatomy of all the parts of the soul, and that every emotion that we experience is reflected, mirrored in the Psalms. So whether you're happy or sad, whether you're thankful or fearful, there is always a psalm to reflect your deepest emotions. Now, I'm sure you all have very good memories, and you will know that the time before last, when I was with you, we thought about desiring God. And we did so by looking together at Psalm 63. Well, this morning I want us to think about a different thing. I don't want us to think particularly about desiring God. I want us to think about drawing near to God. And I want us to do so by looking at Psalm 73. Now, let me say at the outset that we are not going to look at the entire psalm. We are going to think about one verse. In fact, we're going to look at one phrase in one verse. Our text for the rest of this morning comes from Psalm 73 and verse 28, where the psalmist says this, "But it is good for me to draw near to God." But it is good for me to draw near to God. Now, just to explain, Psalm 73 is a psalm of Asaph. Asaph was one of David's chief musicians. He was choir master of the Levitical choir in the tabernacle. And under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he wrote a number of the psalms in the Psalter. But as you probably guessed from the reading, when Asaph writes this psalm, he is not in a good place. When Asaph writes this psalm, he is struggling. And he is struggling with all kinds of doubts and fears. So what is his problem? What is Asaph's problem? What is he struggling with? Well, it's very simple. As he looks at the ungodly, it seems to be the case that they have the better end of the deal. When he looks at the ungodly, despite their ungodliness, they seem to be living prosperous, trouble-free lives. And this has the effect of plunging Asaph into a sea of doubt, where he is buffeted repeatedly by wave after wave after wave of confusion, fear, and misgiving. As you read the psalm, you realize that he actually reaches the point where he wonders what the point is to living a godly life, especially when it seems that in contrast to the ungodly and their trouble-free lives, the godly seem to have lives that are full of difficulty and trial. Now, before we go any further this morning, everyone here this morning can sympathize with Asaph, can't we? We have all had similar thoughts. We've all looked at the world and their ungodliness, and we've seen that the lives that they are living, and then we've looked at ourselves and seen how different our lives seem to be. We have all been where Asaph has been. So the question is, what is the solution? What is the solution to this dilemma? Where does Asaph find relief? Well, friends, he finds relief when he draws near to God. It is as he draws near to God that he finds comfort and reassurance. And it is this idea of drawing near to God that I want us to explore together for a little time this morning. We're going to think about three things. We're going to think about an amazing fact. We're going to think about an incredible encouragement. And we're going to think about wonderful fruit. An amazing fact, an incredible encouragement, and wonderful fruit. So to start, we have an amazing fact. Now what is it? What is the amazing fact that Asaph highlights for us this morning? Well, friends, it is this. We can draw near to God. Let me repeat that. We can draw near to God. Now there are some places and they are off limits to us, aren't they? So you're out for a walk on a Saturday afternoon, you're in the country, and you come across a lovely field or a beautiful forest, but there is a gate. And on the gate there is a sign. And the sign says, trespassers will be prosecuted. Or you're in a shop, and there is a door. And on the door there is a sign and it says, staff only. Or perhaps like me, last Friday you are in a busy airport and there is a queue which says, priority passengers only. Certain places are off limits. And it's not just places. It's also true of people. Certain people are off limits. Think of celebrities or members of the royal family. They are off limits to people like us. If the king were to come to Cardiff and you were just to walk up to him, you would immediately be pounced on by his bodyguards. Certain places and certain people are off limits. Which, friends, makes our text all the more amazing. We can draw near to God. We can draw near to God. It is extraordinary, and you will not find anything like it anywhere else. The creature can draw near the Creator. The finite can draw near the infinite. The sinner can draw near the sinless. Now, of course, we have to draw near the right way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The writer to the Hebrews speaks about a new and living way, which enables us to draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. The Lord Jesus Christ is that new and living way, and we cannot draw near to God any other way but by Him. But if our faith and our trust is in Christ, then we can come. We can draw near, and we can come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. If we come the right way, we can draw near to God. So, friend, let me ask you this morning, do you know anything of drawing near to God through the Lord Jesus Christ? It's true that Asaph comes to the sanctuary, but coming to the sanctuary doesn't mean that you have drawn near to God. Asaph comes closer than that. He comes closer than the sanctuary. He draws near to God by faith. So what about you? You're in the sanctuary, but has your heart drawn near to the living God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? So we have an amazing fact. We can draw near to God through faith in the Lord Jesus. Secondly, we have an incredible encouragement. What is the encouragement? Well, again, it's very simple. It is good to draw near to God. It is good to draw near to God. Now, friends, if we think about it for a moment, not every meeting with an important person is good, is it? You're in the classroom, and a message arrives. The headmaster wants to see you in his office right away. He's not inviting you for tea and cakes, is he? You're at home, and the postman delivers a letter. The letter is from your bank manager, and he wants you to come in for a meeting. He's not inviting you to that meeting so that you can discuss the World Cup, is he? There's a phone call. It's your surgery. The doctor wants you to come in urgently. He's not inviting you in so that you can discuss together the rate of inflation. Friends, not every meeting with an important person is good. But it is good for us to draw near to God. In fact, it's more than good. The word that's translated good here means something pleasant. It means something better. It means something beautiful. It means something bountiful. It means something excellent. It really is good to draw near to God. But let's think about that for a moment. Let's unpack it. What is good about drawing near to God? Well, let me give you three reasons. Firstly, when you draw near to God, questions are answered. When you draw near to God, questions are answered. We have questions, don't we? We we have things that we struggle to understand, things that baffle us, and sometimes they have the effect of bringing us down. This is where Asaph is in this psalm. He looks at the prosperity of the wicked and their trouble-free lives, and he's beginning to wonder why he has lived a godly life up until this point. But it's when he comes to the sanctuary that he begins to understand. Now, friends, is this just a question of location? He's now in the sanctuary, and so he begins to understand his problem. Is that the way it works? No. There is obviously more to it than that. Yes, he comes to the sanctuary, but he goes a step further. His heart goes out to God. His heart draws near to God. And there in the Lord's house, as Asaph's soul draws near to God, the answers begin to come, no doubt through the means of grace in the Old Testament church. And he begins to understand the truth about the ungodly. It reminds you, doesn't it, of James's exhortation in James chapter 1 and verse 5. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally. There you are, sitting at home reading the scriptures, and you don't have the faintest idea what you're reading. So your heart goes out to God. You draw near to God in prayer. And as you pray, the understanding comes. You're wrestling with a big question. Should I or should I not marry this man or this woman? Should I or should I not take this job or another job? So you draw near to God in prayer, and direction is given. Questions are answered when we draw near to God. Now, friends, if we were to stop there, that would be reason enough, wouldn't it? That would be reason enough to draw near to God. But let me give you another reason. When you draw near to God, you see beautiful things. Think of the psalm with which we began our service, with the call to worship. Psalm 27. That was David's experience. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Friends, it's obvious that David loves the sanctuary. And the tabernacle was a beautiful building on the inside. But David never saw the inside of the tabernacle. He could stand in the courts, but he couldn't enter the holy place, nor could he enter the most holy place and see its beauties. So how then can David speak about seeing the beauty of the Lord in the Lord's house? Is it just a desire? Is it just an aspiration that he has? No. It's more than that. You see, as David stands in the Lord's courts, either in public or in private worship, his heart draws near to God. And as his heart draws near to God, God shows him beautiful things. Beautiful things from his word. And if you're a Christian this morning, you know something about this, don't you? This is something that rings a bell in your own experience? Haven't there been moments in your life when you have drawn near to God and God in a special way has shown you beautiful things? Beautiful things about Himself, beautiful things about Christ, beautiful things about the gospel in the Word. Friends, haven't there been moments in your Christian experience when your heart, or at least you thought your heart was going to explode because of the beautiful things that God had revealed to you in Scripture? Why is it good to draw near to God? Because your questions are answered and you see beautiful things when you draw near to God. But let me give you one more reason. When you draw near to God, you are coming home, aren't you? When you draw near to God, you're coming home. I think in many ways that's a good summary of Psalm 84. The psalmist feels loved, blessed, and safe in God's presence. And that's a good description of home, isn't it? We feel loved and blessed and safe in our homes. It's a picture of intimacy. It's a picture of closeness. I don't know whether you ever saw it, but towards the end of our late Queen's life, she was visiting a new hospice in Scotland. And she was introduced to a couple, and as she shook hands with them, she shook hands with the husband, and just as she was shaking hands with the husband, his mobile phone went off. And he immediately swung round and desperately tried to switch his mobile off. But you know what it's like when you're under pressure. You forget how to switch the thing off. And he struggled to do so. Now the Queen, bless her, she took it in her stride. She made a little bit of a joke about it. But the most amusing thing about the whole incident was the expression on this man's wife's face. It said absolutely everything. She was horrified. And afterwards she was interviewed. And she said, "I could have killed him. I could have killed him." Friends, it is a great privilege to meet the monarch. But you don't feel relaxed in their presence. You don't feel at home in their presence. But friends, it is so different for us with God. Yes, God is glorious, and we enter His presence with reverence, but we know that we are loved. And we know that this is where we belong. We are at home when we are with Him. Friends, it is good. It is good to draw near to God. We lose sight of that sometimes, don't we? Let's be honest, at different points in our experience, as our faith waxes and wanes, there are times in our lives when we don't want to draw near. There are times in our lives when we stand at a distance and perhaps just go through the motions. But friends, if only we would draw near to God in Christ, then our questions would be answered. Then we would see beautiful things. And then we would remember that it is here that we belong. This is our home. Friend, again, can I ask you this morning, do you know anything of this? Does it strike a bell, a chord in some way or other? Do you know what it is to draw near to God in Christ and to experience the blessings that are to be had there? So we have an incredible encouragement. It really is good to draw near to God. But there's one more thing. We have wonderful fruit. Now, please take a look at verse 28. It reads as follows. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. Now think about Asaph. Think about Asaph. He wasn't in a good place when he drew near to God, was he? He was discouraged. He was confused. He was angry. He was full of doubts and fears. He wasn't even sure whether he should press on in the Christian life. But what I want you to notice is how he leaves God's presence. He does so with his faith revived, and he is intent on declaring to the world the mighty deeds of God. We were thinking a moment ago about the beautiful things that we see when we draw near to God, and Asaph has seen beautiful things. Look at verse 23 through 26. In my version it reads, "Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me up by thy right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." Now, friends, ask yourself, are these new things? Are these new things? Has Asaph never seen these things before? Of course he has. But at a point in his life, he lost sight of them. But it's as he draws near to God that God, as it were, graciously parts the clouds, and he is now able to see them once again. Are you at a low ebb spiritually this morning? Is living in a fallen world taking its toll? Are you not where you were a few years ago? Do you lack desire for the things of God? Is there little to no motivation there? Are you struggling this morning? Are you struggling with doubts and with fears? Are you at a point this morning where you could very easily just throw in the towel and walk away? Friend, have you lost sight? Have you lost sight of the Savior's lovely face? Well, my dear friend, learn the lesson of Asaph. Draw near to God in Christ, and He will revive your lagging faith, and He will make you fruitful once again. Remember, you're coming to a Savior who was sorely tempted. Remember that He is a Savior who didn't give in to those temptations. And with His heart filled with sympathy towards you this morning, and having victoriously triumphed over sin and death and hell, He is able. He is able to revive your faith. Friend, it really is good to draw near to God. Let us pray. Almighty and most merciful Father,